This episode is part of the Pool's Local Officials Stronger Together podcast series. It's one way we serve local officials through integrity, public service, fiscal responsibility, and operational excellence. As always, please direct specific questions about coverage to your risk management advisor.
Welcome to the Local Officials Stronger Together podcast series. I'm your host, Scott Houston. In this episode, we'll be talking about how to communicate in the hours just following a crisis. I've linked two documents under the podcast. Both are from the League of Minnesota Cities, and both are excellent primers on crisis communications. Special thanks to Julie Liu of the LMC for sharing their great work. It seems like cities and other local governments are facing more and more catastrophic events, be that weather events, acts of violence like shootings, and any number of other things that can and do happen. So when something hits your town, are you prepared for the public and media inquiries that are certain to immediately follow? My hope is that this podcast and the LMC materials will give you a head start on that preparation. Now for TMO Risk Pools, we always want your first call, after everyone's safety is accounted for, to be to us. We have all sorts of resources that can help you respond, like assigning an attorney to you and, with some recent liability coverage additions, authorizing the use of a PR firm to help you for a qualifying event. Typically, once you've got those things, you've got the expertise to guide you going forward. That means the information in this podcast is really geared toward the do's and don'ts of those first hours after an event. We've only got 15 minutes as usual, so I'm going to spend most of this episode interviewing an expert in this subject. Then, as always, we'll do your action items to help you get everything you can from our partnership. In today's items, you'll also hear a little bit more about that new coverage I just mentioned. So I'm now joined by John Whitman with Plus Communications, which is a public relations firm in Austin. John, welcome.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you inviting me to talk a little bit about this.
Yeah, we're excited about it. Before we start, tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get into a communications role that you're in now?
Sure. Yeah. Well, my background is really actually in politics. So out of college, worked on a presidential campaign in 2012, pulling clips in a war room overnight. And then moved down to D.C., worked on the Hill for a couple of years before coming out to Texas. And I worked for Greg Abbott for about 7 years and left his office in 2021, but worked for him in a variety of communications roles, including as press secretary and communications director. So certainly dealt with a few crises in our day, from natural disaster to, unfortunately, mass shootings. And so I have a little bit of experience in this field.
And I guess if you left in 21, you were also dealing with COVID as well, right?
We did. That's right. We dealt with COVID and also Winter Storm Uri, which hit a week before I was supposed to leave. And so I stayed a couple weeks longer than I was originally planning just to help out with that.
Wow. If we could plan for Texas weather, we'd be in good shape, wouldn't we?
That's exactly right.
Well, again, I appreciate you being here. And I think what we want to do is ask you about, over the course of your career, what have you learned are maybe the top four things that you've come up with that a city or other local government official should know about communicating in a crisis, whether that's a, like you mentioned, what you did, whether it's a weather event or a shooting, or it's, you know, some other event that happens that the media and others are needing information from the local government. So tell me the first thing that you think those city officials should know.
Yeah, well, I think in any crises at the local level, one of the first things that should be done is establishing a clear point of communication. In most instances that you're dealing with at a city level, it's going to be something like a natural disaster, a hurricane or a tornado or mass flooding or something like that. And then, unfortunately, you know, some much more serious events such as a mass shooting. Typically, it would be the mayor's office or the police department or the fire department who would be that chief point of communication that is actually disseminating information to the media. And so you need an authoritative voice that is able to speak with facts to the press and provide accurate information, because in a crisis in this day and age with social media and everything, there is unfortunately a lot of speculation that takes place. Rumors start to run rampant online and things can get out of control very quickly. And so you need that authoritative voice that is able to speak factually about what is happening on the ground.
And I suppose that means you'll want to have that person designated long before any event happens and who's going to be the chain of command and whatnot.
That's exactly right. Now, obviously, depending on the event, it will be a different office, whether that's the mayor or, for example, the police chief or the fire department or the fire chief or whoever that is. But they'll need their communications team in place that's able to talk, get media information that they need that they can then disseminate out to the public.
Okay, so number one is have that clear point of communication going out from the local government. Tell me about the second thing.
Yeah, my second thing would be, and this is really simple. I don't know that this is necessarily number two, but this is more of an umbrella type of thing, which is you need to be very, very organized, because in any crises, you're going to get a ton of incoming requests from press, and it's going to be local press, state press, national press. What we used to do in the governor's office was any time we dealt with something like that, is we just simply have an Excel spreadsheet, right? We're keeping track of every single person that calls, what their request is, their contact information, and then trying to get that. In a lot of these situations, you're not going to have that information right away to give to them. And so you're going to need to go track that information down and get back to the reporter. Making sure that you're keeping track of everything that's coming in, you're going to be getting a lot of interview requests. Got to keep track of those. And then you also need to keep track of everyone's contact information and be adding them to the press list, because you will be issuing press releases throughout this. And you want to make sure that everyone who's covering this has accurate information and is on your list.
Okay, that's good information. So we've got two down, maybe two more to go. Tell me about another thing that you think they should know.
Another thing that I think can be taken as advice for an entire situation, which is it's much better to be accurate than fast. But you also do need to be fast. In a crisis, obviously, you need to make sure that the truth is out there, but you need to make sure that all your information is accurate. So, you know, if you're getting numbers on a number of those injured, number of homes destroyed, things like that, or, hey, here are the shelters, or this is what you do in the event you're in high water or something like that, you need to make sure you're providing accurate information. It's much better to hold for a few minutes or even an hour if you have to get the right information and disseminate it before you actually say something that could be false. And that actually kind of leads into my last point, which is you never want to speculate in a crisis. Never say, well, I think, or we think you may want to do this, or we think the numbers may be that. You never, ever speculate in a crisis. You only ever want to give factual information. And it is okay in instances like this to say something like, I don't have that information currently, but I will track it down. That's a completely acceptable answer in a situation like this. But again, it is important that you get that information quickly and disseminate it out.
Okay, so that's the top four things that you think they should know. And you've done an excellent job summarizing it, especially considering our podcast is only 15 minutes. Thanks for this great information, and thanks for being here. And also thanks for the work that you've done for some of our members in particular to help them through the crises that they've dealt with.
Absolutely, Scott. Always happy to help.
Okay, let's do our three action items for today. First, like I mentioned at the beginning, call the risk pool first. Once everyone is safe, call the pool immediately. We can get you the resources you need for a covered incident. In fact, our Board of Trustees recently added a specific provision to your liability coverage to help you with crisis comms for a qualifying claim. I asked Aaron Hardiman, our manager of risk services and a frequent podcast guest, about what that coverage does, and here's what he had to say.
Hey, Scott. Yeah. So like you mentioned, the board passed this in April. And if you have a qualifying crisis event, the pool now provides you $50,000 of coverage for that event. Now, the main thing to keep in mind with this is that if an event like this occurs, you need to contact the pool immediately, open up a claim, and then we will help manage that process for the membership.
Action item number two. Check out the publications the Minnesota League was so kind to share with us. They're simple, yet they're very helpful, and they give you a great idea of how to respond in the first hours following a crisis. And finally, action item number three. You may want or need the help of a professional like John. Here's what he said about the services provided by his firm.
You know, our firm does it all, right? We do crisis communication. We help out with general communications consulting and that type of thing. So yeah, we really do it all. And one thing, Scott, that I want to add on top of this, as we're kind of talking through all this stuff, I think an important factor in any local government response, there will be a lot of different agencies involved. For example, you know, the police department or the fire department or the parks department or whoever it is, you need to make sure you're also coordinating with their PIOs or public information officers throughout this, making sure that they're all on the same page, because they're going to get random questions as well. And so I think it's important that those folks have an open line of communication to whoever the lead authority is on this issue.
You know what I think is interesting is that in a lot of situations, an incident might happen, say, within a small city, and the press and others will start contacting that small city asking what's happening. But it's very frequent that the county emergency management office, if it's a larger disaster, ends up taking over for that. So I think it's interesting that in some cases, the city will be the first point of contact, but shortly thereafter, they'll need to be coordinating with the county and other local governments about further communications.
That's exactly right.
And that's it. Thanks for being our partner, and be sure to tune in to another episode soon.
To review written materials associated with the presentation or to ask Scott a question, please visit www.tmlirp.org. and click on the Stronger Together podcast link. Please remember that the information in this episode is provided for informational purposes only and doesn't constitute legal advice. We recommend that you review the podcast and the accompanying written materials with your attorney prior to taking action.